The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Look at verses 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. We'll be speaking tonight on remembering people. Remembering people. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word, please. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Each other better than themselves. Now watch this, if you will, in verse 4. It says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Father, bless, we do pray tonight. Thank you for church. Thank you for an opportunity to be able to come, open a Bible, learn and grow. Bless our gathered tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, if you will. Remembering people. As the Bible says here again, let nothing be done through vain strife, it says, or through strife and vainglory. And so we ought to make sure that we do all things to the glory of God. The Bible says, but in lowliness of mind, each esteem other better than themselves. You know, we thank the Lord for those that are graduating tonight. We know a lot of work went in on their behalf. We also know that a lot of work went in on behalf of the teachers, on the behalf of those that are parents, the sacrifices that's been made in order to make this very night very possible. The Bible says in verse 4 of Philippians 2, it says, "Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And so tonight we look at these young people. We consider the things that they have done, looking on the things of others. And it's good to remember, you know, as we get older, you might have a tendency to forget things. There was a farmer, he had a dog that herded cattle, and the dog was very good. Matter of fact, one of the visiting relatives that was visiting was amazed at the dog as it would run out, herd the cattle into the corral. Once the cattle got into the corral, that dog would stand on its hind legs and hit that gate lock, and that gate, after being shut by that dog, that gate lock would come down, fall right into place. And so the visitor that was a visitor of the relative that had the dog said, "What is your dog's name?" He said, "Hang on a second." He said, "What is that flower that smells beautiful and that has thorns?" Well, the visitor said, "It's a rose." He said, "Thank you." Looked at his wife and said, "Rose, what's the dog's name?" He had forgotten something very important. Can I tell you, we always ought to remember things that are important to us. Albert Einstein, as he became aged, relocated to the Institute of Advanced Study there at Princeton on the property there in New Jersey. One night he was coming in late and he couldn't remember where he lived. He forgot where he lived. And so he called the dean of Princeton, of the graduate school, and he said, "May I speak to Einstein?" And the man said, I'm sorry, we're not allowed to be able to let you speak to Einstein." He said, "No, it's very important." Now, he knew that if he rang the number, he wasn't going to be home because he was out there lost somewhere. And so he said, "Can I speak to him?" He said, "No, we're not allowed to give the number." He said, okay, just tell me where he's living. Tell me his address, and I'm just going to go by and visit him. I'm an old friend." And the man said, "No, he's a very private man. We're not allowed to give out his address." And then Einstein lowered his voice, and he whispered, and he said, "I'm really Einstein. The reason I want the address is because I forgot where I live." You know, it's important that we remember things. As these young people get ready to graduate, it's important that you remember the sacrifice of a mom, the sacrifice of a dad. It's important that you remember the sacrifice of a teacher. It's important that you remember the sacrifice of the person that made tonight all possible. One day there was a lady, and She would always commute to the train station, and as she was getting ready that morning, she was in the routine like always, and her husband worked there at the train depot, and so she was in the routine of getting up and hurrying about doing this and hurrying about doing that, and she scurried along just like normal, got into the car, drove down to the depot. Then all of a sudden, she started laying her head on the steering wheel. She was crying and laughing out loud. One of the men that worked there in the station came over and said, "Ma'am, can I help you?" She said, "For 10 years, I've always had it down pat. Always had it down as to what time I'd get up, what time I'd fix my husband breakfast, what time we would come out, we'd get in the car, we'd go down to the station, I'd drop him off." She said, "For 10 years, I had the routine." She said, "This morning, for the first time in 10 years, I broke the routine. I forgot my husband." You know, it's always important to remember the things that are important to us. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 3, the Bible says, "Let nothing be done." It says, "through vain glory." It says, "or through strife and, or vain glory." It says, "but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." So we're supposed to esteem others better than ourselves. We're supposed to esteem the things that others have better than the things that we have. Oftentimes, we'll remember people as they have died. Oftentimes, we'll walk past a casket. We remember some of the things that they did in their life. But can I tell you, we ought to remember the living while they're living. When I was a pastor in Tennessee, oftentimes what we would do is we would have a day that was called Flowers for the Living. As we had the day Flowers for the Living, here's what we did. We put carnations in big containers, big buckets. And I would have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 buckets that was sitting across the front of the church. And I said, "All I want you to do is I want you to get a carnation, take it to somebody that's done something special for you, and tell them what they've done special for you." It was always a neat time because we would see people leave the church and they'd be crying. They'd be bawling their eyes out because they never knew that so-and-so appreciated them. They never knew that so-and-so thought that about them. We had ladies that would come to the church that were widowed ladies, and they'd be sitting there in the pew, and they'd sit by themselves. They would come by themselves, sit by themselves, and leave by themselves. Oftentimes, they would be looked upon as being very lonely. Oftentimes, they'd be looked upon as being somebody that was just there. But we watch young people grow up, and we watch people walk out, not with one carnation, but sometimes they walk out with 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 carnations, and they took those carnations home, and they remembered that somebody appreciated them. Can I tell you tonight, it's a time of remembering people. Helen Keller was blind, and she said, "The worst thing about being blind is not the fact that I cannot see. It's the fact that sometimes others are more blind than I, for they see, yet they see not." Someone said this, "We cannot heal the wounds that we cannot feel." It's very important that you and I understand that people are people that need to be appreciated. One day a preacher was in his study and he was preparing for the Sunday morning sermon, and his son had gone outside, just a little 6-year-old, and he got a cut that was there on his right elbow. He come running into daddy and said, "Daddy, I got a cut. Daddy, I got a cut." And the daddy looked down at the boy and said, "Leave me alone. I'm studying." As the boy got ready to leave the study, he said, "Daddy, at least you could have looked at it and said, 'I'm sorry, does it hurt?'" You know, sometimes the words that we share are important words. One day a little boy walked into a pet store and he said, "Man, I wanted a pet so bad." He went up to the pet store clerk and he said, "How much are the dogs and the little puppies?" The clerk said, "They're $25 a piece, son." He said, "I don't have $25 a piece. All I've got is $2. He said, "What about that puppy over there?" He said, "Son, you don't want that puppy. That puppy can't even walk. Got crippled legs." Boy pulled up his leg, a pant leg, and he said, "I've got a brace too." He said, "I can't walk, but everybody needs somebody to love them." Picked up that puppy and gave it to that boy, and that boy went home and cherished and loved that puppy all the days of its life. Can I tell you, everybody wants somebody to remember them. Everybody wants somebody to love them. Everybody wants somebody to be able to say, you're important to me. There was a fellow by the name of General William Booth. You might know he was the founder of the Salvation Army. Many years ago, he was getting old and he was feeble in his thinking, and he was supposed to be at the commencement exercise of those that were graduating that year with the type of educational program that they had at this particular Salvation Army. He was supposed to be the main speaker. He couldn't come. Physically, he was not able. And so he drafted a telegraph and sent it over, and all it said was one word: others. Can I tell you, others are important. Sometimes we go through life and we forget about others. We forget about the people that used to be important to us. We forget about the people that influenced us. We forget about the people that sacrificed for us. We forget about the people that were an integral part in being in our lives. Let me just give you four statements tonight as I conclude. How is it that we can be the ones that do not forget others? Statement number one: learn to forget your failures and look to the successes of others. Learn to forget your failures and look to the successes of others. Boy, I love the story about the boy that kept throwing up the baseball. He'd swing and miss, throw up the baseball, swing and miss. Finally, somebody came up with a critical attitude, very negative in their disposition, and said, "Son, you will never be a great hitter." He said, "Yes, I know." He said, "But did you see the guy that was the pitcher? Didn't he do a good job?" Now, can I tell you, listen, forget the failures and look to the success of other people. These young people getting a graduation diploma tonight, that's success. I mean, it took study time. It took time of them giving their very best. It took getting up early in the morning, and for the girls, extra long as they did their hair or as they tried to keep on their cap. You know, it just took extra time to be able to do that. Now, may I say tonight, hey, forget the past failures and look at the success. You know, every sermon I preach is not a home run. By the way, if I have the privilege to pastor you, you know that. There will be times I'll get up and I'll mispronounce a word. The other day, my wife and I was riding along, and sometimes I'll read words backwards a little bit. I don't know what that's called. I guess that's called backwards intelligence. I'm not really sure. But sometimes I'll read a word a little bit backwards. And so we were riding down the road, and I said, "Look at that." And I read it backwards, and she said, no, honey, it said this. I said, "Oh, that's neat." You know, but did you know, hey, listen, you don't allow things to pull you down. You decide you're going to keep your eyes in the right place. You decide to look at some of the successes that you have in life. Don't always be, look, every sermon I preach is not a successful sermon. Everybody I try to help doesn't turn out all like I want them to. Can I tell you, as a marriage counselor, and I counsel many people in marriages, and I give, I believe, good biblical advice, but not everybody chooses to take the advice. Can I tell you this? Don't look at all the failures. If you spend time looking down all the time, you'll never get up, you'll never go forward. Look, everybody, are you listening to me? I cannot show you a person in the Bible, Old Testament or New, that didn't have challenges, and many times more than off, they would fall. The difference is those that were used greatly of God got up again. And you have to decide that when you fall, you just decide to get up again. Well, what do? You do not lie there in your failures, but you decide that you're going to get up and walk on. Hey, look, may I remind you, please, that it was Peter that forsook the Lord in grand fashion. It was Peter that forsook the church in grand fashion. It was Peter that sat down with the devil's crowd and warmed his hands in grand fashion. But also, may I remind you that it was God that skipped over all the other disciples, and 15 days later, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Can I tell you, listen, forget the failures. Look at how God is using you. Look at what God is doing. Now, don't ever get this. Don't ever become somebody that's full of vainglory. Remember, it is the Lord God. Remember, it's God that gives breath. It's God that takes breath away. It is God that will place his hand on you. It is God that will use you as you take and you give yourself to God. God is a good God, and God can still answer prayer, and God can still come through, and God is still the one that wants to work in you and through you for his honor and for his glory. But let's not become people that are full of vainglory. Forget those failures. The Bible says in Hebrews, as I would dwell here in chapter 12 for a little bit, in verse 1, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. When you fall, when you sin, when you go into wrongdoing, remember, hey, sin is bad. Sin is incriminating and sin is destructive, but you don't have to live there. It was Dwight Talmadge that said, sin may open in the bright morning, but it always closes in the dark night. John Wesley said this, remember, there is no little sin until there becomes a little God. Charles Spurgeon said this, sin is worse than the devil because sin made the devil a devil. He would have still been an angel if it hadn't have been for sin. So what do you do about sin? You look at sin and say, okay, listen, you've hurt me, you've damaged me, you've caused me to think things, do things, go places, but listen, I've got a God that's greater than the sin, and greater is he that is in me than he is in the world, and I can rise up, and I can serve Jesus Christ, and I can go forward, and I can accomplish something for God, because God is a great God. I cannot say tonight, so forget your past failures. How is it that you can later on be able to be remembered the right way? Face the bright future. Now, you know, some people say, oh, preacher, you're such an optimistic person all the time. No, I think I'm a realist with an optimistic viewpoint, and I choose what viewpoint I choose to have. I believe there's people sitting here tonight, you're a realist, but you have a negative viewpoint. You have a pessimistic viewpoint. I see the sky and I see the sun in the sky and it might only be half bright, but I say thank God for the half bright sky. Amen. Others might see it and say it's half dark. I see it when it rains outside and say, woo, man, praise God, somebody need a shower. Amen. It was raining right before church and some kids were coming in. I said, thank God you got a shower. I'm saying this, hey, forget those past failures. Look to that success, and that success is found in Christ. So face a bright future. Listen to it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning, yes. He's the middle, yes. And he's the end. He's the completer. He's the bright and shining star. He's the brightness of all heaven. He's the one where darkness now cannot stand. I'm saying tonight that you ought to thank God that you have a bright future. You ever step out to try to accomplish something and you don't accomplish it? I cannot begin to tell you how many books I started to write and I've not finished them. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I've had a goal, I've had a dream, I've had a desire to do something, and I've not yet reached it. But listen, what we do for those of us that sometimes do not hit those goals is we pull that back out again and we dust it off and we try all over again. I cannot begin to tell you how many books I've written, and in the books that I've written or the manuscripts I've written, I will send it to different people to proofread. And it comes back looking like it's been severely stabbed and is bleeding very, very badly. But now, wait a minute. Does that get me discouraged? No. What's that do? That makes me want to write more. You say, why? Because they need more torture. No, it makes me want to write more. Why? Because I've got a desire. I've got a desire to leave something behind when I'm dead and I'm in the grave. Yay, are you listening to me? When I die and I go to heaven, I've got a desire to leave something behind. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that these young people tonight, don't get discouraged. When you get out there and all of a sudden you trip and you fall, don't forget that God is God and God can help you get up again and you can be something for Jesus Christ, and God's got a plan for your life and he's got a future for you and the future is bright, but you've got to decide that you look to the bright future who's found in Christ. And can I tell you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and you can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengtheneth you, and he is on your side, and you got a mass of people here that's going to stand beside you, walk beside you, lift your hands up high, and help you every single step of the way. I'm saying tonight, remembering people. Statement number one, how do we do it? Forget those past failures. Statement number two, face a bright future. Ready? Last one, here it is. And that is focus clearly on him. Focus on him. Focus on him. By the way, listen to me. The Bible says this. The Bible talks about who hath, stay with me, who hath hindered you. You know there's who's that the devil places in your life. Who's that will hinder you. Here's the who, stand up who. And this who begins to whisper negative things in my ear. And he begins to be negative. All right, wait a minute. When he does that, that will bring me low. Oh, but here's another who. Here's another who. Here's another who. And this guy will, stay with me, this guy whispers positive things in my ear. Positive things in my ear. And he negative things in my ear. And positive things in my ear. And negative things in my ear. And positive things in my ear. And real negative things in my ear. And, all right, wait a minute. I choose who I listen to. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight?
Yes, sir.
I choose what I listen to. You know, watch this. If I just got negativity, stay with me now. Stay with me, kids. You listen to me. If I got negativity just in my life, that's it, negative. Negative about God. Go ahead. Negative about God. Negative. Talk negative. He's thinking about God, how good he is. And all right, I got negative. Oh, just negative. Just keep going. And it's just pulling me down, stepping on me, pulling me down, stepping on me. I'm doing a better job than you are. But all right, now wait a minute. Watch this if you will. All right, and that's all I've got. My looking to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of my faith, becomes dim. Becomes dim. What if I surround myself? Here's the negative guy, and I surround myself with positive, living for God, pat me on the back, point me a certain direction, and helping me. And by the way, are you listening to me? This is why. Look, I'm all for education of every type, but can I tell you, the more positive you can get in your kids' life, the more godliness you can get in your kids' life, the more people that will encourage and people that will help. Can I tell you, it will build their faith. Then these guys keep patting on me and stuff like that. And when I see negativity, I say, that away. And boy, just you see what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying this. Hey, listen, kids, the way to survive once you get out of here is you stay faithful to church and you stay faithful in your Bible and you stay true to God. And, you don't lay your soul winning down and you don't lay your bus route down and you don't lay God in the background and say, well, I'm done now. No, you're not done. He's still the author and finisher of your faith. He's still the one that can help you and encourage you. And by the way, there's a lost and dying world out there that needs to see somebody standing for God and somebody living for God. You can do it if you want to do it. Amen. Now watch this, and I'm done. Here we go. Thank you. Be seated. You are a great help, except for the negative. Last verse, here I am, and I'm done. It says this, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Wait a minute. You mean our Lord Jesus had those that contradicted him? Do you mean to tell me, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Do you mean to tell me tonight that the masterful Savior had people that was negative? Do you mean to tell me tonight that Jesus Christ had people that tried to stop him to fulfill his mission and his journey and the plan of God for his life? You mean to tell me such? Yes. Yes. But the Bible says here, Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 3, for consider him. Now, why should I consider him? The Bible says that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Now, why? Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Hello? Oh, but preacher, the world's getting worse and worse and worse. But Jesus is getting better and better and better. Oh, but preacher, it's so difficult. No, 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 no. It's not. A matter of fact, he says this. He says, come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, the problem is we try to do things in the flesh. We try to do things all by ourselves. But you've got a God in heaven that is stronger than your flesh. You've got a God in heaven that will help you take the right steps every single step of the way if you abide in him. Oh, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. They put a tune to it many years ago. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. I'll sell it on tape after this. Nobody will buy it, and I have to go eat beans and rice. Now, can I tell you, watch this. It's simply coming to him and just an abiding in him. Abiding in him. There's no secret to it. There's no magic wand. Well, I'll tell you what, preacher, I just really believe that I can make it by myself. You'll fail every time. Amen. But in him, yes. You won't fail.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.